So I'm joined now in the studio by Jane, who is an allotmenteer in Lincolnshire, but she's also running Horncastle in Bloom this year. Tell us a little bit about that and how people can get involved. What can they do?
Oh, goodness. Right. So it is part of the overall Britain in Bloom initiative because we are sort of classed as East Midlands. We are linked to East Midlands in Bloom. And quite often when people think about the In Blooms competition, they think about hanging baskets. And that's about it. And actually, it's a much, much bigger project than that, because obviously it is about horticulture, but it's also about community, it's about sustainability, it's about education, and it's about well-being. So it is a really big project.
And speaking of well-being, it's Mental Health Awareness Week.
It is.
What benefits does this Horncastle in Bloom, but also having an allotment, have mentally?
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive thing, and really it's something which over the last sort of 8-9 years has really come to the forefront, and it's that social therapeutic horticulture. And it is so good for you to get outside into nature. There is sort of even a little bit of research, I'm not a scientist, but a bit of research at actually getting your hands into soil. There's some sort of chemical reaction that takes place, which also helps with your well-being. Now, obviously, fresh air is really good for you, but if you are gardening with other people, you have that sense of community, and obviously we have that connection as well. Now, I know that when I first started gardening, or had my own allotment, I've been gardening for a long time, but when I had my first allotment sort of 9 years ago, it was as a result of dealing with my own mental health. And I didn't know, and it wasn't something which was spoken about, that social therapeutic horticulture was a thing. And I know that I was sort of, you know, I went through the whole CBT, the cognitive behaviour therapy kind of thing, in order to deal with my mental health. Where we were basically put in a room with 6 other people who were also struggling and told to talk. Now, if you're actually struggling with depression and anxiety and agoraphobia, it's the last thing you actually want to do. So, it's not the person I am. Before that, I would have always been the person to speak out. And actually, you know, since I've got much better in myself, I'm still that person. But at the time, we were all sort of, you know, sitting on our hands and looking at our knees, or not really wanting to talk. Whereas actually with social therapeutic horticulture, you're sort of actively engaged in something and you have that freedom to talk. So with Horncastle in Bloom, we do have the community allotment plots, which I've been creating and working on since January. And we've started to get some of the social prescribers down with people that they're working with. And it's so beneficial, to the extent that actually if you go to your GP because you are struggling with your mental health, they can actually give you social prescribing, which can include gardening. So it's something which is really, really coming to the forefront, because actually it's effective and it works and it's really good for you.
And let's face it, the weather at the minute is great for it.
Oh, well, it's up and down. I mean, the weather, what's going on with it? I mean, if you ever have any doubts still about global warming, if you're a gardener, I think you pretty much can say, yes, it is a thing. I know that for the first 4 or 5 years, I could rely on the weather. I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was putting out when I was putting it out. But over the last 3 to 4 years, it's really changed. So we've either had really late frosts or we've had lots of rain. It's actually this year been so cold. We had a bit of a knock-on effect from last year. So I usually overwinter lots of things in my unheated greenhouse, and they're usually absolutely fine. They grow beautifully. They go into the dormancy, which they're supposed to do, where they just sort of stop, ready to go when the weather warms up. And I actually lost some things in my greenhouse, which I never normally do. And that included broad beans. Now, broad beans love cold weather, but actually I even lost some of those, and my dahlias. I had about 12 different varieties of dahlias. I always leave my tubers in the ground, but the season last year was so late. They were still blooming in November, so I cut them down late, mulched them too late. And actually, I've lost a lot of those because it was just too cold. So even as really experienced gardeners, the weather is taking a lot of us by surprise because it is shifting. And even the RHS are saying we're about sort of 4 or 5 weeks behind where we would normally be. And we don't know if sort of come October, November time, if the weather's going to be sort of warmer than it would normally be for that time of year, or actually we're going to have a really short season. And in terms of growing fruits and vegetables, that's quite problematic because, you know, we're growing food, whether it's sort of our own personal consumption or even the wider wider rural community, that could have a big impact on what is going to be available to us.
So do you then say, well, you know, we're four to five weeks behind where we should be.
Yeah.
Do you then say, let's plan 4 to 5 weeks ahead? Because you don't know if that's going to change, if the weather, you know, so, and then you may have stuff that is still in the same situation.
Yeah, I mean, we're constantly, as gardeners, we're constantly thinking ahead anyway. So most of things that you grow sort of take around 12 weeks from seed germination to sort of your full fruition, if you like. So yeah, it's just a case of, well, just fingers crossed, hope and see what it's going to be, because we just don't know in 12 weeks what the weather's going to be like. And we have to become more adaptable, because sort of this time last year, we were heading into that really hot spell. And obviously in Lincolnshire, we had the highest recorded temperatures in the country. And that was at Coningsby, so not far away from where we are at the moment. So yeah, we have to be sort of adapting and changing, and actually to a certain extent, adapting and changing what we plant to be more tolerant of those, you know, hotter summers, but also mindful of the fact that maybe we're going to get those late frosts as well. So mulching is sort of a major one, making sure you're getting a good layer of mulch or compost down over your growing area, because that helps to retain water if we have a really dry spell. But also it helps to sort of protect your roots as well. It's such a minefield at the moment.
So I was chatting about the mental health benefits of Horncastle in bloom. If people want to get involved, you know, growing flowers and things like that can be quite costly, and we're in a cost of living crisis. Mm. What can people do even to just do their bit?
I think once you are a part of a growing community, growers are so generous. I'm an absolute nightmare for this. If I sow lots of seeds thinking, right, well, some of them will germinate, some of them won't, and they all germinate, I don't like throwing them away. I feel really guilty. It's just like my poor little babies, I can't throw you away. I need to keep on growing you. So what tends to happen if you're within a growing community is people will just like, right, are you short on this? Do you need some of that? And actually sharing is a really good idea. And there's plenty of seed sharing that goes on as well. And again, if you think about some of the packets that you can buy of seeds, sometimes you just get way too many seeds. So again, sharing those seeds out, and it is that community link which is important. Now, if you are a little bit more isolated as a gardener, and maybe you're sort of in your second or third year, I really recommend, and I love doing this, seed saving from your own things. So for example, at the moment I've got parsnips in the ground which are actually from last year, so they're not for eating. I'm just going to let those go to seed, which I've done before, and actually I ended up with so many parsnip seeds that I managed to just about, well, not just about, I more than covered all the other allotment holders at my allotments. Do you want some parsnip seeds? Do you want some parsnip seeds? I just had too many. So actually doing things like that and getting yourself into position, and it's not necessarily going to happen in the first year of growing, which is where that community aspect comes in, but certainly sort of going into your second and third year of growing, seed saving. And actually seeds are really interesting, the variety of how they look as well, and getting into your mind how and when to actually, you know, seed save. Yeah, I've become a bit of a seed geek, to be honest.
And just on the other side of the cost of living, I've said there about how, you know, seeds might be a bit costly, but at the same time, you're saving from what you're growing.
Yeah.
Because you're not having to buy it from stores.
Absolutely. And as I said, you know, if we've got this changing weather, and we did have a little bit of it last year as well, where it started to become a little bit difficult to get hold of certain fruits and vegetables. Obviously, what we do need to be doing, and something which we've got too used to not doing, is eating seasonally. So making sure that what we're eating is in season. So for example, at the moment, asparagus is in season. I am overrun with asparagus. Now, I love it. Nobody else in my household does. So again, it's one of those, do you want any asparagus? Anyone who comes near me. And the same will happen when it gets to courgette season. That's always the case. But we also have food banks, lots of food larders as well. So I know personally, and I'm a massive advocate for this, if you have too much surplus, donate it. Some food banks can't take it because of fresh produce and so on, because it is perishable. Yeah. But if you find a food kitchen who actually cook things, and I know in Lincoln, we've got, is it Mintry Cafe?
Mint Lane Cafe, yeah.
Yeah, they do it. We've got Echo. We've got quite a few food kitchens who will actually use this surplus. They will cook with it and provide hot meals for free to, you know, people in the community who need it.
It's a great way to give back. If people are currently running an allotment and they're new, we're heading into kind of the summer season now, what kind of stuff do they need to be preparing and seeding?
I always say when people have a new allotment is don't try to do everything at once. Says me, who has tried to get a whole community plot established from January and getting it all fully functioning and growing. Don't do as I do as I say. Take it slowly, because if you try to sort of do everything, and obviously it depends on the size of your plot, if you try to do everything in one go, it might not work, and actually it becomes quite disheartening. Whereas if you just sort of gradually do it, plan out what you're going to do as you go forward, and just sort of that remembering that gardening is a journey. It's not that end result. In fact, I don't think I've ever got to an end result with sort of my overall plot. There's always, right, actually, I really want to do that, so I'm going to try that for next year. And again, it's that future planning. And it is that idea that, you know, gardening is good for you. It gives you that momentum. It keeps you going. And it's a journey. And grow what you like to eat. As well, if you are a fruit and veg grower, grow what you like to eat. Because in the first sort of 2 years, I grew marrows because I thought that's what you grow on allotments. you grow marrows. I don't like marrows. And it took me till the third year to go, why am I growing these? I don't even like them. So, yeah, I don't grow marrows anymore, but plenty of other things.
So it's very much trial and error is what you're saying.
Yeah. And that's, again, that's where sort of your mental health and your joy of what you're doing comes in. Because if something goes wrong, it doesn't really matter. And quite a lot of us are working in industries or jobs where if something goes wrong, it's a big issue. And, you know, we get pulled over the coals, and that makes us feel absolutely dreadful and horrendous about ourselves. Whereas if you're doing something for yourself and it does go slightly wrong, we can accept it more easily as a learning curve of, right, okay, what went wrong there? I know what went wrong there. I'm not going to do that again. Says the woman who has, for the last 5 years, had onions, which always bolt every single year. And it's only this year I suddenly thought, right, I'm going to do this differently because that's not working. So I'm hoping this year my onions will be more successful and won't bolt. I have had onions, but nowhere near the amount that I actually started with. So
if people have heard us chatting today and have thought, actually, this might be good, it might help my mental health to get involved, and they start an allotment, they're thinking of starting one, and they think, oh, but will I have time? Mm-hmm. When you first started, how much time did it on average take, you know, a week, say?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is interesting because quite a lot of people say, oh, I haven't got time to do it. For the first 9 years of having an allotment, I had a full-time job, so working 5 days a week as a teacher, so pretty heavy-duty job. It's certainly not one that you start at 9 o'clock and you finish at 3:30, certainly not. So I was doing that. Obviously, I've got my family, so I've got two children, yeah. I've got my amazing husband. I mean, the man just is absolutely brilliant. He allows me just to go off. And again, he knows if it's a mental health thing. Happy Jane, happy wife, keep her doing it. And so probably, you know, over the winter, I do actually still garden over the winter. There's still things to do, and a lot of people, I sort of call them fair weather gardeners. Obviously, if that's you, that's your choice. That's what you're capable of doing. That's what's available to you. But yeah, during the winter months, probably about 3 or 4 hours at the weekend. When it gets to summer, a bit more watering, so maybe half an hour in the evenings, just making sure I'm watering everything up, everything's fine and happy. Maybe harvesting, or usually harvesting, actually, it's just like, oh, it's more courgettes. But yeah, it depends on the time of the year, and also depends on how much space you have. So I have actually dropped down, so I'm teaching 4 days a week now. So I have 3 days available, she says, available to me. But then I've taken on Horncastle in Bloom. So my allotment plot is 320 square metres.
Wow.
And the community plot is 260 square metres. So I've got quite a lot of area to cover. But again, it's not taking up humongous amounts of time. It's also, again, sort of accepting that weeds are a thing and you can clear them, but they will come back even if you sort of do all sorts of things like no dig and so on, which is an organic way of growing. Sometimes I do look at some of the other plot holders who are retired and they are pristine, and it's like, mine doesn't look like that. But it doesn't matter, as long as what you are growing, what you want to grow, is growing.
And what's a couple of hours a week if it's going to improve your mental health, etc.?
Yeah.
And I suppose as well, you know, if you're going on your own, it'll take a bit longer. But if you have kids that you can take along with you, it might take a bit less time, or it might take a bit more time.
I mean, I have my son, he's 11 years old now, and he's getting into gardening. And actually, the school in Horncastle, they have started a gardening club, yay, which I've sort of been donating lots of bits and pieces to in relation to Horncastle Bloom, and obviously because I have a son there as well. He came down to the community plot the other day and I was like getting him to move compost. He lasted about an hour, actually. He did quite well. And I was like, Mummy, can I just sit down? So, yeah, you sit down, baby. I'm going to carry on.
I think it's with kids, it's a bit, you know, sometimes it may take a bit longer and hinder a little bit rather than help. But it's always good to have the company there, isn't it?
Yeah, I sometimes call him my armchair gardener. He likes to sit down and sort of watch Mummy work a little bit. But, you know, actually getting kids involved in growing is so important. And I know there's quite a few things going on at the moment in terms of people speaking to the government about getting more gardening in schools. Because if we look at the Early Years Foundation specification syllabus, so that's sort of your preschool age, it is a part of the curriculum and it is that part of the wider world aspect. Then you go to Key Stage 1, which are your infants. Quite often we have, you know, a lot of that is still involved. But as soon as you get to Key Stage 2 and then Key Stage 3...
It becomes about exams.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And actually what's really important is one of the benchmarks, if you like, for Ofsted at the moment is mental health and well-being. Mm-hmm. And if we're thinking about social therapeutic horticulture, we've just been through a really seriously stressful couple of years. Having gardening in schools as a part of the curriculum, not as an add-on where you're relying on people to sort of volunteer for these things, is really important. And I did actually start off and establish a school garden in a secondary school. And again, it was really good for the kids.
It's great. And I think, as you say, the mental health impacts of it are few and far between, especially, you know, for secondary school kids that are kind of in exam time. It's an hour away that, you know, if they were to do some gardening, or, you know, it's an hour away that they can kind of refocus and re-energise. And when I was at school, there was so much life skills that I left without. You know, I didn't know about taxes, I didn't know about this. You know, I could cook, I could clean, you know, and I knew how to do an exam. But other than that, you know, the life skills, it's something that they don't teach enough of at school.
No, and I mean, you know, as a teacher, sort of, I've got two hats on this one. The first is, yeah, the curriculum is so jam-packed. How can we fit any more in?
Yeah.
And quite often people will say, oh, they should teach that in school. They should teach that in school. Yeah. And it's just like, it's just not feasible with the amount of hours that we have. But what I did find is during the first lockdown, because obviously I've got my gardener hat on and my teacher hat on, so we were remote teaching, and I did actually do remote gardening with my tutor group. So obviously a tutor group, if you're not into education, is you have a form tutor in secondary school who is your main contact in the mornings and the afternoons, contact with home and so on. And I was checking in on my students to make sure that they were okay, and I encouraged them to get gardening. And obviously first lockdown, we couldn't go anywhere, we couldn't really do anything, we couldn't buy anything, so it's just like, right, get a tomato out the fridge, whack it into some soil, that's so you can grow the biggest tomato plant. And they got really involved in this, and their parents also got involved in it as
well. And have
well.
They carried on with it since?
They have, yeah, and it's just so exciting. And again, this is one of those things which we need to be bringing into schools. Quite often we have this blurred line between agriculture and horticulture, and agriculture has a really sort of negative press around it, I think, within rural communities of, well, it's not really the job that we want to do, even though it's vital and it's so important. But actually, so elevating that knowledge of plants, not as a side step, maybe in a science lesson or a bit of that's photosynthesis, but something that's being more important, because food is so important, and actually that connection with nature is so good for us as well.
Definitely. So Horncastle in Bloom, is it running all year round, is it? Or
it is. Yeah. So initially we're sort of starting off as a 3-year project, so we're in the first year of it. Hopefully it will sort of pick up its own momentum and it will keep on going and going and going. So it's a big project, it's an ongoing project, and we've got so many people who are involved, and that investment, sort of that physical mental investment in it, is so important.
And if people want to see what's going on with Horncastle in Bloom, how can they do so?
Ah, right. We are all over social media. So obviously I'm on social media with Allotment Cooks anyway, yes, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Facebook members page, yeah, any kind of social media, or see me. And the same with Horncastle in Bloom. So sometimes I sort of do a bit of a crossover between my accounts. So we've got Horncastle in Bloom again, which is on Twitter, it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook. And we have the web page as well.
Keeping yourself very busy, yeah, as usual. I know you too well that you will never slow down.
No. That was the idea, by dropping a day. I'll just do some nice videos and just potter around in my garden and growing space. Oh, do you want to do Horncastle in Bloom? Okay. There you go. That's it.
Thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you.